Start a song.
You didn't get that awesome introduction of me on tape? Hello, everybody. I'm an addict. My name is Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
I'm real happy to be the first speaker. That way I don't have to measure myself against anybody else. My clean date is May 9, 2006, and a few months ago, we celebrated 9 years, and I've been in service since I got to Narcotics Anonymous, probably at about 60 days clean, I got into service. Excuse me. I don't know. I don't know where to start. I've been pouring over all the literature and everything. What I want to share, most importantly, is straight out of It Works, How, and Why. They say these couple of sentences twice, so I thought it was real important. If I can get my phone to work right. That's what my gadgets are up. I'm not, like, texting and calling people or taking pictures of you guys yet. But but it says twice in step one, and It Works, How, and Why. Unity is the spirit that joins members around the world in a spiritual fellowship that has the power to change lives. Like I said, they say that twice, and say, like, in the beginning of the chapter and then the last paragraph of the chapter, step one. And I'm wheezing something serious. All this pollen and everything, so bear with me. But anyway, like, when I think about this sense of unity, just before the meeting started, I was talking with another member, and, you know, usually I camp here. I haven't camped all summer. This was my last chance, but then I had the opportunity to go on vacation. So, and, like, I took my granddaughter to the beach, and, you know, I did some fun things, and I was like, but I had accepted this commitment long before I planned the vacation, so it was important to me that I kept this commitment, so I left vacation and came back to share with you guys, and then I'm hitting the road and going back on my vacation for the rest of the weekend, but, like that, you know, at first somebody was like, what are you doing? You left your vacation to come here? And it's like, that's kind of what we do. You know, I come from a sponsorship family that's big on service. Everybody in my sponsorship family has a commitment. And it's important. I found earlier in recovery that having a service commitment keeps me clean. It gives me something to do, something to look forward to. I learned how to be accountable and then dependable, and then somehow I ended up responsible. I don't know how that happened, but that was like the progression of my recovery process. But I don't know. You know, what Court told me was our common welfare must come first, and or maybe just to talk about our common welfare. But the thing was, like, I couldn't get clean without you. I tried to do a lot of different things by myself, and they all ended in failure, like abject failure. So, like, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and I wasn't looking for unity or fellowship or a community of people, I was just looking for the absence of pain. I was willing to do whatever it took not to have to feel like I was feeling, which was, you know, desperate and alone and alienated, and I hated myself. And I just didn't want to have to feel like that anymore, and I didn't want to have to do what I had to do to get my drugs anymore. Like, that was old. That had played out long, you know, long before the party had ended. That part was over. And I came in here, and I was scared to ask for help. I'm from Philadelphia, and I got high all over that city. And so getting clean there, like, I didn't know anything about the meeting before and the meeting after. And, you know, I'd sit with the women in the meeting, but I didn't know how to say, I need your help. I didn't know how to, probably mainly because chances are I was with one of their boyfriends the night before, you know what I mean? So I didn't know how to get honest, I didn't know how to ask for help, but when the opportunity presented itself for me to come to Western Pennsylvania, I jumped on it just because I wanted the absence of pain. And they say, or if you make a list of what you want out of recovery, you will pretty much sell yourself short, because I got so much more than the absence of pain. Like, I didn't just heal. Like, I did recover, and like some of the scars that I experienced in, you know, in my addiction are smoothed over. You know, I always had a very tumultuous relationship with my mother, and coming into recovery, and I'm an only child, so, you know, that loneliness started way early for me, and so when I come into recovery, like, now I have sisters, and I've got a sponsor who loves me. Like, I say this all the time, like, I don't know if she loves me as much as I think she loves me, but that woman loves me right, and she accepts me, and she showed me what accepting Cheryl looks like, and so I was able to model her behavior, and I didn't count on any of that. I didn't count on any of that when I came into this process. I just wanted to stop waking up wishing I was dead. So because you know, I heard early on that gratitude's an action word, and you know, if you are sincere about your, you know, that you're happy to be here, well, you need to do something to show it. So I got into service. My first service commitment was GSR, my home group. I know, I think I chaired a meeting at the Butler Area Spiritual Retreat that first year in 2006. I had like 77 days clean, and I hadn't yet identified with a higher power yet, but I enjoyed being up at the podium, and I was like, I need that in my life. So, you know, how do I get that one day at a time, like anything else in this process? So I stayed clean, and I did some other things because I wanted to be able to have something to talk about other than what you're holding, you know, and who's got it, you know. And so I dove into the literature. I was GSR, my home group, so I had, you know, I knew everything that was going on, and then I became area secretary and PI chair and regional PI chair, and now I have a position on the board of directors. Can't wait for it to end. But like, I just stayed busy, stayed in service, and it was because, like, what this program has done for me, because, like, I learned how to go to meetings and pay attention in the meetings and sit still. Like, that gave me the discipline that I needed to go to school. And you know, because I learned how to share from the podium, like, I was able to present cases and speak to, you know, being on the PI committee, I was able to present in other forums that have helped me to progress in my career. Like, I developed a career in this process, and it's all because somebody told me I could do it. Somebody said they did it, and they said, you know, it's a look at me program, like, me too. So I did what they did, and you know, I started going to school, and I did some things and got a degree, and now I work in treatment, like, and it's like a dream come true. Like, it's almost like I get paid to stay clean, pretty much. Like, I can't see me, you know, having any of my clients having more clean time than me. Like, that's just not going to work. So, but it feels like it's paid off, and what I got out of this was, especially when I was on regional PI chair, like, I was doing the helpline workshops, like, everywhere, because the committee was very small, and I just took a chunk of what I could do and did that, and I focused on maintaining the helpline under the PI umbrella. And like, I went all over the region sharing and getting volunteers to sign up for the helpline, and I got to meet people, and you know, it got to, like, no matter what I was going through or wherever I went, like, there's always somebody I know, and that made me feel safe and warm, and, you know, it talks about, like, how the sponsorship and the sponsorship family, like, that helps me to have some cohesion within this group, even though I don't know, like, half of you here. Like, I know if I'm hurting, like, I'm not by myself, and that is so comforting. That is not anything, who cries on traditions, right? But that is, the unity of this fellowship is really huge for me. And there was a period of time in Butler, because Butler's pretty small. And for a while, it was like I was the only woman with significant, with like over 5 years. Like anybody, with a year clean stand, year more clean stand up, and like I'm the only woman standing up. So there was a point in time, every woman in the room I had sponsored. But we, you know, I'm at area service, and we can't get this position filled, and we can't get that position filled. And I'm like, where are these people? What's going on? And I got to a point, I was like, I quit Butler. I'm just going to go, you know, I know enough people other places. I'm just going to go down Pittsburgh and recover down there, right? Just, you know, I was already commuting to go to work. So I was like, I'll just do my meetings in Pittsburgh. And I'm sitting there in these meetings in Pittsburgh, and all I could do was be envious of all the unity and camaraderie that I saw amongst them. Like, I still felt like I was on the outside. And my sponsor's husband says, what did he say about, there's no unity without you and I? And I was like, you know, let my sponsor me. You go sit down over there. But he was telling me, like, do what I can right where I am. And so I was reignited. And I got back into, you know, I hadn't lost my enthusiasm. I was just annoyed that I felt like I was the only one who was grateful. I was the only one in that area who was willing to do stuff. And then as I got to the regional level and started doing stuff on the region, I'm like, okay, it's not just my area. It's like there's a shortage of trusted servants everywhere. Just the regional service committee right now is being run by like 3 or 4 dedicated addicts. And like I'm real thankful that they're there, or our bills wouldn't get paid, you know, checks wouldn't get signed, and then the helpline service wouldn't be available, because PI is what I love. So that's my, like, I'm not worried about the convention, I'm not worried about the regional spiritual retreat, I'm just worried about the helpline, right? But you know, thank God for these few people who are there willing to give up their Saturdays and their Sundays a couple of times a month to try and keep this fellowship alive and keep the services available for the addict who still suffers. Because that's what I've found. I guess that's where my unity started and why the helpline is important to me and public information. Because, like, if nobody knows where we are, you know, the moment of clarity that one has in addiction is a brief at best. And if they can't get to a meeting, or, you know, if they don't know where to go to find some help, like, that could be one lost. And in the 12th step, and it works, Helen White talks about why we hug. It says we greet each other with the recognition reserved for survivors of the same nearly fatal catastrophe. And, like, that's what my life was when I came in here. It was a freaking catastrophe. And you guys hugged me and loved me and nurtured me back to health. And that unity, you know, that that spirit of oneness between us really saved my life. Because if I had to go one more day in that lifestyle, if I had to do one more thing to get another hit, if that one last hit didn't kill me, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be here today. And you guys, like, nurtured me, and you know, as I white-knuckled it, and, you know, I had the cravings and all the angst that goes along with early recovery. Like, you guys were there for me. And like I said, I'm an only child, and I never had anything like that in my entire life until I got to Narcotics Anonymous. And it makes me think about the symbol, when it talks about there's room inside the circle for every manifestation of the recovering person. Like, I belong, and, like, you guys can't kick me out. That's the other part of the literature. Like, I ain't going nowhere. I don't know. It feels like I've said a lot, and then I look at the clock, and it hasn't been very long. But I don't know, like, somebody encouraged me to just stick around long enough, you know, till the miracle happens. Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. And I'm big on that. I am I am a chronic, I stay past the expiration date, and it's so like, I was like, I'm just going to ride this out and see how long it lasts. Like, if I should have been long gone from Narcotics Anonymous, I don't know it. But I, like, I just, I want to see, I don't know, I somebody said find your niche. And, you know, I did. I found mine in PI. I found the God of my understanding after working through working the steps. And not only did I find the God of my understanding, like, I found me. I found out who I was, what I really like. I stopped being a people pleaser and a yes person. And, you know, whatever you like, whatever books you like, you know, whatever music you like, I like it too. So red's your favorite color. That's my favorite color too. Just until somebody else says, somebody with more money say green. And I'm like, I like green, you know. I got to find out, like, who I was and or who I am. And I get to continue to learn that and stay in here with you guys. And, you know, the steps are a journey inward. But, like, that's a scary journey if I'm trying to take it by myself. Like, and I don't know. I can't see me. You know what I mean? Like, I need you guys to be my eyes and ears to tell me, like, yeah, that's not going to go so well for you. Because here's what happened when I did the same thing. Or when I get myself into a jackpot and I don't know how to get out. Like, somebody's there. Here's what worked for me. And I get to live in the solution a lot of the times as long as I stay connected in this fellowship. I don't know. I'm wheezing so bad. I feel like I'm going to pass out. I guess I'm kind of nervous too, but anyway, like, I would encourage everybody to find your niche. If it's drawing, like, draw some posters. We always need logos, you know what I mean? If you can cook, we always got functions. Covered dishes are always welcome, you know. If you can design whatever, like, find your niche. Just stay long enough. Like, the dope is, that lifestyle is waiting. It is there. It's always going to be an option. Just give this lifestyle a chance. I don't know. All I can say is you won't be sorry. And plug in. You know, the women stick with the women. Men stick with the men, of course. And there's a reason for that. Like, who better can tell you, like, about yourself? Like, you can play games with the opposite sex. You know what I mean? You can, like, I can bat my eyes and, or, you know, shake my behind at a guy. He's like, yeah. Like, I can exhibit some behaviors and continue to wear my mask. You know what I mean? But a woman, another woman's not going for that. She's not going for that okie doke. And she's going to help me get to the exact nature of what's going on with me so that I can get better. And vice versa, you know, with guys and girls. So, like, stick with your gender. Take off the mask. Let us, you know, we talk about loving you till you learn to love yourself. You gotta let us love you. You know what I mean? You gotta be receptive to that love. And not for us, for you, because we're gonna love you anyway. And there's nothing you can do about it. But, you know, if you want to get better, if you want to do more than just stay clean, you know, if you really want to recover in this process and heal, let us love you. Because it's like a salve. It's like being wrapped in gauze and just cradled in this fellowship. Of course, I gave an awesome lead in the car coming up here. But I think I may be running out of stuff to say about unity and our common welfare. Again, I can't get clean by myself. And the fellowship doesn't need us collectively. I mean, as individually, but it needs us collectively. It needs us to have that common bond, that those ties that bind us together based in unity. It's in applying the principles and it works how and why. It talks about how, excuse me, that spirituality, hang on, let me find it again, please. Give me one moment. It talks about anonymity, love, selflessness, commitment. Commitment is another essential ingredient in unity. Personal commitment. Uh-oh, messed it up. Where am I? selflessness. Commitment is another... I did it again. Maybe I'm not supposed to read it. Okay. Try one more time. Talks about compassion. Love this. Hang on. Okay. Well, I already talked about commitment because I'm all the way down in tradition too. You know, this is the bane of technology right here. I was like, I don't need a book. Who needs a book? I got a phone, right? A lot of good it's doing me right now. But anyway, okay. Commitment is another essential ingredient in unity. Personal commitment to our shared sense of purpose is one of the ties that bind us together. When we know that we belong in NA and when we make a commitment to stay, we become part of the greater whole. Like, that's why I'm here right now. You know what I mean? And my guy's sitting in Maryland like, really? You're driving 3/4 of the way back home. Like, I live in Pittsburgh now. It's a 4-hour ride to Maryland. It took me 3 hours to get here. And he's like, why don't you just go home? I'm like, I'll be back. You know, I have a commitment. He's like, I can't believe. Do you think any of those people would drive that far for you? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, they would. You know what I mean? He was like, I don't believe it. This is crazy. It's a cult and all this, because he's not one of us. But, you know, he also is thankful that I do have this fellowship, because the stories I've told him, he's like, no way, no way. And I'm like, way, dude, I was a mess. So he's real happy I'm not so much of a mess anymore. But, that sense of commitment, like to foster the greater good, you know, in tradition one, it talks about how two addicts, this one speaker used, you know, religious affiliations. He was like, where else do you find a Muslim and a Jew who will come together to help a Christian? You know what I mean? Like, because all of that other superfluous stuff doesn't matter when it comes to down to getting a day clean and saving somebody's life. You know, that anonymity where, like, we can, and it doesn't matter where my help comes from. I can't choose where my help comes from. If I tried to choose who was going to help me, I'd be selling myself short again. My picker's broke on any day. Like, I'm trying to go there, and it's going this way all the time. So, like, I already know that I have to allow the process, and I have to... just be receptive, like I said. Be receptive of the love that's available to me. I don't know. I'm not going to go back to my phone. I think I'm pretty much done. Thank you guys for being here, and I'm wishing everybody another 24 hours.
Okay, I would like to introduce our second speaker, which is Lance S. from the Simple Solution Group of Narcotics Anonymous in the Laurel Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Hi, gang. I'm Lance. I'm an addict. All right, I got 5 how it works.
I'll take one. I'll see your how it works to give you who's an addict.
I'll see you and give you what it's in our pipe.
See, this is how we do it.
This is it.
Pete beat me to it, though.
I did.
Cool. 2 more, how it works.
We want what you have to offer.
I got to say, if the dope was on the table, you would have drove more than 4 hours to get it. Right?
Yep.
Right? So, that's how I do it today. That's how I did it in the beginning. My clean date, for reference, is October 28th, 1988. Thank you. No, thank you. Don't applaud that. I'm here for one reason and one reason only, is because there was other addicts before me. And you should have never started crying. Now, I'm going to probably do it a couple times, too. Okay. I'm also 62 years old, and by the 5th of September, I'll be 63. So I'm long-winded and boring. About Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't get here, first of all, brimming with love and affection. I don't know about you guys, but I was the kid in the back of the room looking out the window when everything else was being discussed, right? And when the principal bent my girlfriend over the desk to paddle her for giving me a kiss because I was gone for a week in the hall of Thomas Jefferson High School, I threw him over the desk and I never returned to high school in my sophomore year. I'm from the, if there's any old hippies here, no old hippies. I'm the last one alive. All right, Phil, I knew it, buddy. I'm from the old Shady Side, Haight-Ashbury, all that stuff, right? And that was a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good ideals. A lot of good people with hearts in the right places. With our futures in mind. Alternative energies, geodesic domes, Buckminster Fuller, all kinds of engineering going on, all kinds of dreams, hopes, and aspirations. I had them. I was going to be an architect. It all slowly disappeared. Like anybody remember? This is how it happens, right? Anybody remember the first time somebody said you want to smoke a roach? And you were too afraid to admit you didn't know what a roach was? You were too cool, right? I know, right? Looking out the window, not paying attention. In the end, I was driving down the street with my knee, cutting lines in a mirror and looking in the rearview mirror and doing all that at 40 or 50 miles an hour, right? In the end, I had my best friend in the bathtub in cold water going through, because he overdosed, going through all of his pockets, taking the shit, calling 911 and leaving. Best friend. Remember the best friends? We used to share our dope. Right? How long did that last? I know how long it lasted for me. So I'm just trying to qualify a little bit, right? This disease took me to the animal level. Aspirations, dreams, gone. I was hitchhiking through Oakland one night in Pittsburgh from washing dishes with my GED diploma on the wall. And I was 17. And some guys drove up to this red light. I think it was right where the old Heads Together head shop used to be. And they wound down the window. I thought they were going to give me a ride. They spit on me, right? Big, deep down Pittsburgh Hawker. Haloogie, right? And they drove off. So I ran down the street. That's your son, I can tell, Anthony. I ran down the street, pulled open the back door, pulled the guy out that was in the back door and started pounding him. The guy got out of the front door. I hit him. They all jumped back in the car and took off. Then they realized there was a carload of them and one little lone hippie in fringe jacket, me. And as they went around the old juvenile hall, past Pittsburgh Playhouse, around the juvenile hall, I heard them yelling, "We're going to kill you, motherfucker!" And I knew they were coming at me. There's no place to run if you know the neighborhood. If you know the neighborhood. There's not much, too many alleys around there. Juvenile hall had a fence around it. And they're coming around, and this car was coming, and I stuck my thumb out, and they pulled over, and I got in the back seat. And there's these three long-haired leaping gnomes in the front. Big, big guys, long hair. That car pulls in front of us. These guys get out, and they go, "These guys after you?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "They spit on me at the last red light." And those guys got out with stuff that was more intimidating than what those gentlemen had, and they left. And then they all got back in the car, and they said, "You want to? Where are you going? We'll give you a ride all the way home." So they rode me home out to my suburban neighborhood, Pleasant Hills. Sometimes you get an opportunity to save your ass. You know what I mean? When you least expect it. And that's kind of what happened here with Narcotics Anonymous. All right. I drove myself to my last rehab. I didn't get here and get this the first time. I've been through a couple rehabs. I thought you guys were all crazy. Some kind of a cult. After I left the meetings at night, you must all got together, put antlers on, and did sexual acts with one another. I didn't cotton to the Moonies. I grew up with a dominating religion that believed in punishment and all that. I'm not going to talk about which one, but a wrathful God. And that never sat with me, you know. I came from a divorced family, you know, had all the stuff that I could whip out at any time and use. All right. When I was driving myself to my last rehab, I was so angry because I knew it was over. All right. I'd probably spent the last, because after you're through a couple rehabs, all your buddies, you know, that you're willing and dealing with, now you're a narcotics agent. They don't want you coming around. So you're not getting things at wholesale levels. And I was used to dealing at a certain level, certain quantities, and now I could not do that. So I was back to stepped on stuff, expensive prices, and I rode that for almost 2 years, right? Peaking and geeking, I called it. I was always an ups guy. I never liked downs. I like to be wired, energetic, all right? So on my last drive, now I had been to a rehab before that in Cove Forge. Did I break a tradition? It wasn't owned by the same company then, so it's all right. And there was a couple guys there, some long-haired leaping gnomes that I could relate to, right? And there was this one guy named Tom M. And I remember driving out of there, and he was a really great guy, you know, looking back on it. But I drove out of there in my rusty Subaru station wagon with all my clothes in one garbage bag, and giving Tom the finger as I went past the barn by the tennis courts. Well, there was tennis courts then. By the intake house on the right. And Counselor Roy, where they all lived in the houses. 2 years later, when I finally understood that I had something going on that I could not control, I wasn't going to go to Cove Forge. Right? And admit I was wrong? So I went to a place that is no longer exists, Ligonier Valley Treatment Center. Thanks, Ron. Thanks for being there, by the way, buddy. And I was downstairs in the induction room, you know, where they make sure you're not going to die of a heart attack or anything. You know, it was all painted powder blue, the detox room. And it was in the basement, and there was a coffee pot there. And I'm drinking all this coffee, and I'm looking out the basement window, just looking. And past the window walks Tom M. And he stops and steps back and looks in the window. And I'm like, how the hell did he see me? What's he doing here? Here, he was just coming to work. He had changed facilities. And he was just looking in to see if anybody was in detox. That's all. But it was all about me, right? It's always about me. He did see me, though. And he came down and he sat next to me. And I'll never forget, he goes, "Well, Lance, did it get any fucking better out there?" And I said, "No, Tom, it got worse." and I broke down and cried. Now, I met a lot of good people in that rehab, and a lot of folks really wanted to get clean too. I got to tell you about being connected, right? Because without getting into some heavy bullshit, I believe we are all connected. We're from the stars, right? It all condensed, planets, boom, here we are. We're all from the same stuff. I believe that spiritually. I found out years later. Well, I'll tell you that a little later on. I was thinking about all the people at Ligonier Valley Treatment Center and some of the counselors, too. You are not immune. We are addicts. We die from this disease. That's our promises, right? Jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. That's a guarantee. That's no bullshit. You know? And I think that's kind of why I hung around here, because I knew you guys don't bullshit. You can't bullshit a bullshitter. You can't dope fiend a dope fiend, right? We know that. Intuitively, we know that. All right? And we love one another because no matter how much we're spewing puke all over everybody and this disease is just oozing out over us, those guys, when I first came around, loved me for exactly who I was at that time. Not for who they thought I should be, but the sick pup Lance, even today. Because I could do some pretty sick things even today. Just ask my wife. See, when I was trying to get clean, I was living up in the hills here in Ebensburg, gorilla farming, Sensimillion, and selling it for big bucks in Pittsburgh. And when I went to the meetings, there was a lot of and stuff. There was a lot of, hey, this is good here, but you need to come down the hall to this, there's real recovery down here stuff. All right? I'm telling you my experience. All right? And I never connected. Because I got to tell you, I was a long-haired leaping gnome. I didn't want to hear what the hell Archie Bunker had to say, man. I'm serious. And you know what? He probably didn't want to hear what I had to say either. All right? I got to remember, all right, that I'm from a certain bunch of folks. All right? And if I go somewhere else, I could be the reason somebody walks out of that room. So I need to keep the traditions straight, no matter where I might be sharing. Because you never know who might walk out and die that night. However, I do believe this. I'm powerless over the disease of addiction. Right? So I can't make anybody get clean. All I can tell you is how I got clean. And maybe if you latch on to something or... who knows? Maybe you might think it's all bullshit and that'll make you get clean too. Yeah. So if I thought I could save people, I wouldn't be working the first step. I'm powerless. However, together, I've learned that together we can stay clean and carry this message. And just like me, somebody might hear something and stick around, you know. And here's the bonus. Then they're going to say something that saves my ass someday. And that's what I really believe, because we're all equal. We're all from the same stuff. We're no greater or lesser. So there was, I got back to Johnstown after my humility. Because if you don't find humility, you'll find humiliation, I guarantee you. So after Tom, Keith, Marlene, those great folks, They wanted to give me some stuff, though, some of the doctors there and that. And I knew in my heart that I needed complete abstinence. And I'm so glad that back in those days it was a holistic approach. No caffeine, no sugar, nothing. We'll wait 6 months till you're clean, then we'll figure out if you're fucking crazy. Because when I got here, I was a sociopath. I was, you know, a liar, a cheat, a thief, a womanizer. I was whatever it needed I needed to be to blend in and get what I needed to get. There was at least 14 of me in there somewhere, you know? Right? Of course I look like I'm nuts. But I believe those are assets that this disease took and turned into defects. All right? Because what we had to do to use on a daily basis takes talent. Don't sell yourself short if you're new in recovery. We've got great stuff. We are capable of great things. Can't even imagine. So I told my wife, I'm not going to stay clean up here in the mountains. Because I got a taste of Narcotics Anonymous from a certain few of folks of what NA was at those facilities. And they were connected to bigger Narcotics Anonymous. Now remember, NA was just growing then in Pittsburgh. So I said, I got to get to Pittsburgh, Deb. And I went to work, and I was a maintenance man. I was getting a drink of water, and I looked up on the bulletin board, and there was a job opening with the folks I worked with in Pittsburgh. Here comes the car. When the car's going around the block saying, we're going to kill you, motherfucker. And there it was. And I remember Tom Marshall kept saying to me, Tom M., you got to look for the flags, Lance. They're always waving in front of you. You just keep looking the other way. And he's right. I was too terminally hip and fatally cool. When I heard that in the basic text, I knew what that meant. So I knew that was a red flag. I knew that was, hey, walk this way, right? And I'm a great believer in that stuff. Because we are all connected. Put in for the job, off we go to Pittsburgh, right? And I join a home group. If anybody's from Pittsburgh, South Hills, Better Change was my home group. There was 7 meetings in the South Hills at that time. I found out later on, Tom M. helped establish that home group. He was one of the original home group members. Go figure. Later on, Tom ended up with bone cancer and passed away. And he had made his rounds through other rehabs and that, his counseling and that. And he was living in the Mon Valley and working at a local rehab in Washington, PA. And when he had bone cancer. The reason why he got bone cancer is because he broke his leg when he was a kid, and they gave him some good stuff, and he loved it. And he kept repeatedly breaking his legs to get the stuff, because he didn't know how to cop when he was in his early teens. He paid with it for his life, you know, with his life later on in life. But we were talking one evening, him and John definitely and me, and I was telling him the story of Oakland and the guys that were going to kick my butt. He says, what? He says, are you serious? And I said, what do you mean am I serious? He says, Lance, I was the guy riding shotgun in the car that picked you up. Yeah. Now, knowing Tom, he could have been bullshitting me. No. And it was a, what the? It was like a Twilight Zone moment, man. And I'm not making this up, all right? I swear to God, I know half of you already or knew you somewhere else or gonna, you know what I mean? We've all been rushing to this moment right here, right now. And what's important about the moment is what we do with it. Right here, right now, is my past and my future. What I do in the present is either going to haunt me and fuel my disease, or it's going to lift me up and take me places. And when I look back, it don't look too bad anymore. What am I coming up on? 27 years, something like that. It looks great. And the future looks great. I got more behind me than I got in front of me. Ron and I were talking about it. And I'm retired, and every day's like Sunday now. So I feel sorry for everybody here that has to work for a living. But I'm copping every day, man. I'm living life like I'm going to be dead tomorrow. That's all we got. Well, we'll see what happens. So I got my first sponsor. I was looking at the meeting list at Better Change, and I went over to this thing called the Beachview Group. It's no longer there. It used to be down the one-way street past the fire hall in Beachview. And there was these two guys that shared every night. And I said, you know what? I'm going to ask one of them to be my sponsor. And that took me a month and a half to get up the courage. And I said, okay. As soon as I walk in, if I see one of them, I'm asking him and he's it. Neither of them were there that night. All right, this is a disease of addiction, all right? It took me almost another 3 weeks. And when I asked Steve R. to be my sponsor, he said something really strange. He said it would be an honor. And I didn't understand that. You sure you know who I am? It's an honor? If you really knew me, you wouldn't be saying that. But Steve believed in, like his sponsor before him and his sponsor before him, because we're talking three areas in Pittsburgh at the time. Southwest, Pasna, and South Hills. Now what do we got? I don't even know. Yeah. I've been a part of all that. Like the, I forgot your name. Like Cheryl before me. Steve came up to me and he said, hey, you got 90 days clean. Why don't you start thinking about getting involved? And I said, oh yeah? Like I thought I was going to be on the executive board or something and whatever. I mean, I didn't even know. I just thought it was something great, right? And he says, what you need to do, and he said, what I suggest you do, actually. He never told me what to do. He said, what I suggest you do is take a commitment with your home group. And I said, oh, hey, they need the guy to make coffee. He says, okay. He said, but there's something that comes along with that. You got to do it for a year. So I don't know about anybody else here, but in my last 5 or 6 years of addiction, I would create and complete lots of stuff up here. You know, procrastination became one of my biggest enemies. And I never completed anything in reality. So what the coffee pot did for me is from day one to 365 days later, I started something and I completed something for the first time in probably 20 years. All right? How old was I? In my 30s. And that was such a big thing for me. All right? In my 30s, I'm thinking that's a great accomplishment. But that changed everything on the way. That changed some basic stuff about this disease, right? Never straight, good out of the gate, but never completing anything became very important to me. Because that's how stuff gets done. So my completion date set for me on being staying clean is when they put me 6 feet under. And my wife's got a thing to put on the all around, starting and finishing something. But our common welfare, right? I didn't want to do a damn thing for anybody here. Why should I? I don't like any of you. Seriously. I can find something wrong with everybody here. Because you all got defects of character. And I will use them to my advantage. And I do that with the rest of the world out there too. I was down in Washington, D.C. Huh, them people are aggressive drivers. Holy mackerel. But I'm the guy that pulls people out of cars in the middle of the night in Oakland, so just out of being mad, so. Nah, I'm joking. The wife and grandson was in the car. I had to be a civilized human being. So when I had 6 months clean, he said, 6 months to 9 months clean. He said, Lance, H&I is looking for help. We're really in need of people. And areas are always in need of people, and services are always in need of people, all right? So anybody that does serve, thank you. God bless you, too. So I said, Steve, what do I need to do H&I? You know, I'm picturing in my mind, you know what, you're going to have me out on the corner handing out flowers and, you know, stopping cars at intersections and handing out pamphlets, IPs, you know. I didn't want nothing to do with any of that kind of stuff. That stuff makes my skin crawl. And he said, Lance, you need to do it for one reason. And I said, what's that, Steve? Because you're the most selfish son of a bitch I ever knew. I said, me? What are you? Not me. I'm a great guy. We're all great guys. So. And I said, well, I'll learn about it. He says, okay. H&I meets before area service at such and such time at the Presbyterian Church in the South Hills. Be there. So I went there, and they were talking about stuff, and the chair said to me, he said, hey, we need a vice chair. I said, oh, a vice chair? He said, would you consider it? And I said, well, I'm just here to learn about stuff. And they said, all in favor of Lance being the vice chair, three people voted me in, right? You know how we do. We do this stuff, gang. And I got to tell you, I'm the guy that if you told me to shut up, I was mad, because this is Narcotics Anonymous. Even though people with a day clean can carry this message. So don't tell me to shut up. Because my sick shit might keep somebody clean for a day. What not to be like. I'd say it works both ways here. Matter of fact, that's why I didn't go with the other folks, with Archie, because he was always telling me to shut up. And I'd stand up and say, I'd call him out right in the middle of the room. Archie Bunker, son of a... So area service started about 2 hours later. And the chair came to give his report, the H&I chair, and he said, I've been using for the last 3 months. I'm resigning. This is the new H&I chair pro tem. And walked out of the room. I got to tell you about that, though, because I did have a great sponsor, and I had some great people in my life, and I was working the first step. I was scared to death now, right? Now, you want me to say something? Now I'm scared to death, right? All my insecurities and all that ran rampant. I went out and bought a computer. This is before Windows. This is back, you know, all that stuff. I had to make sure I had the best typed report and all that stuff, all right? But that started me on a journey of, like Cheryl was sharing about. My we expanded. I embarrassed myself enough to get to learn about my own humility. And my own place of how fragile I really am and what my fears were and how they manifest my character defects and all that stuff. All right, because I had to deal with Yin's guys. Not just sharing in a meeting, but talking about stuff. And maybe disagreeing about stuff. All right? And I had to learn how to still love you at the end and understand why we're here. So all that stuff brought out the worst in me, but at the same time started leading me towards the best in me. And there I am at a facility, a large operation, $60 million a year to operate. And the director came to me and asked me to chair a subcommittee. Just for different reasons. And I chaired it like we do in Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't beat him up with Robert's Rules of Order there. But old business, new business, just like we do. Walk through it, right? And it's all these folks, I don't want to call them normal folks, because I believe we're normal too. But the folks that didn't use like we did came to me after the meeting and said, you know what, that was the best organized meeting we've ever had, and I feel like we're accomplishing something. And I just, in my mind, I said, you know what, that's because of these knuckleheads that came before me. You know, that's because of my sponsor and his sponsor and the other addicts I met here, you know. And I got to tell you, I took, I'm retired now, so I don't do none of this. But I used the steps and the traditions and what I learned here about our common welfare and applied that to my expertise of management. I'm a maintenance guy, all right, nuts and bolts. But in the end, I commanded $150 million projects, a lot of contractors, a lot of personalities. It was just like the ASC or region, right? But due to PI, regional efforts, board efforts, moving offices, committees, conventions, whatever, right? Seeing all that stuff. I mean, I've seen people at their worst, and I still love them today. You know? Because of all that, I transcended that into my everyday life. It became a way of life, you know. And I got stuff done. I became a valued member of society. Because I wanted to. Partly because I knew if I didn't, I was going to get high again. And it was easier walking into a job conference and start talking about cost overruns or where somebody was falling short on following codes of construction, and you're talking money. It was easier to do that than to be leaving my friend in a bathtub while I go through his pockets and running out the front door. He did live, by the way. So I find myself moving back to Johnstown with 8 or 10 years clean. I can't remember. I'm losing my memory. But all the meetings that were on the meeting list weren't happening. And as I was running to my fourth one to find out the doors were closed, I pulled off Route 219 and started to cry because I started seeing all the faces. And I got 100 stories of service, how I met people, and you know, my motives for doing it, and ended up on the flip side of it, and the rewards. I could bore you all night. But when I lost Narcotics Anonymous up here, because there was too much dilution, the meeting list had all the rehabs listed on it. I mean, crazy stuff. And they wonder why it disappeared. I used to drive an hour and 10 minutes to Greensburg for a home group. Timmy P. Love the guy. And then finally I said, you know what? I'm starting a meeting in Johnstown. Then I found there was meetings in Altoona. I know Altoona's in the house. I met some guys earlier. And we started, hey, we need a new meeting list. So we had some dances. Right? And then somebody said, hey, we need to maybe talk about forming an area. And okay, four of us showed up 1 month, and the next month I was the only guy sitting there. Because I had some service experience nobody else did. And I would sit there every month at the ASC of the Cambria-Somerset area, which no longer exists, and read from my basic text. And then a guy walked in one day from Chicago, Will. And we would talk about stuff and what's possible. That was all our ASC was. And the next thing, some other home group guys started forming home groups. And there was a couple people still in Johnstown that came back in home groups. Now this is the ties that bind us together. This is our common welfare. We found each other, right? Just like I said, if the dope was here on the table, well, the stuff was on the table in that church basement. Will would bring his little son with him every fourth Sunday. Then we decide, you know what? We need a helpline. And we had dances, and we had fundraisers, and we had our first unity picnic. Will, or Charlie, where was that?
The Ridge.
Jimmy D spoke from Southfield. And we gained all this money. And we all drove to the bank. And we're like, if we could start the helpline. We had enough money. And we watched the treasurer put the money in the thing, in the headlights of the car. And the next day she confessed that she'd been using and she spent all the money. But we saw you put it in the bank. Nope, she dope fiend us. She's clean today and she did pay the money back. But we still loved her. We do that stuff here. And because of that, she was probably even hurt more or felt more pain than if we would have kicked her to the curb. But that's what we do here. 2 months later, we all came up with the money. She repaid it. We started our first helpline. Altoona's joining the area. We're having an ASC, and a phone call comes in on the helpline. Bob S. gets up. It's a helpline call. We had beepers. He runs to the phone, calls the number back. It's Indiana. Indiana wants to join our area. Right? This is how you grow. So we're so excited. We're going to start a unity retreat. This one. That's the history. And here it is 19 years later. And a lot of those folks that were around then are still here. We're still alive and kicking. Some of us disappeared and went off and did stuff and come back. But the one thing is for sure. Without each other, we would have been pulling them curtains back, saying, I see him out there. Come here. See, look over there. That's all I got.